than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide, to another Purple Friday preview by The Call. Thank you for joining us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast.
Overcast. I have to say it all the time. Love it.
Joining me as always,
Overcast.
He's happy it's overcast because he's on cloud nine right now. Josh, what's going on, man?
What a segue. Couldn't you plan that any better? hey, man. Happy Purple Friday, man. Monday Night Football edition, I should say.
Absolutely. Before we get into the Ravens game, of course, there's some news. Mr. Dennis Pitta came back onto the practice field, but you got a lot to talk about. You just got to meet Ray Lewis at a book signing. Tell me what today's been like.
Oh, my God, man. Meeting Ray Lewis, it don't matter if it's the first time ever or obviously this is the umpteenth time. I don't even know how much times I've met him, like 15. And just the guy's powerful, man. And you get that star show. Like, I know they're just people, but Ray Lewis is Ray Lewis, man. I mean, he's on an upper echelon of different. I mean, it's Ray. I mean, and I joke with people in line because there was a guy in line that was meeting him for the first time. And I'm like, you always want to conjure up something you want to say to him. And you sit there and rehearse it the whole time. You get up there and you're like, hi, how you doing? All right, bye. And then you just like forget. You just get caught in the moment. And that's kind of what happened to me. And again, because I actually wanted to tell him something. And I get up there and it went totally different. You know, it was just like weird how it happened. And I'm like, I left and I was ecstatic. And then I'm like, I get to tell him what I want to tell him. But I'm like, that's all right. You know, I mean, I'm sure there'll be other autograph sessions. I'll get to tell him that. But the experience was great. I mean, I got there in the morning. I got there bright and early at 6:30.
Yeah, you're saying 6:30. I saw a picture tweeted out earlier this morning that people were there since like 5:45 in the morning. And
yeah,
the signing wasn't until this evening.
That's right, 12 hours. And get this, I actually showed up on Ray Lewis's Twitter at that moment in the morning. Apparently, one of the guys who used to do Ray Lewis's landscaping here in Baltimore actually was here present for the signing, and he took a picture and apparently sent it to Ray, because apparently a little after 7 o'clock, Ray Lewis tweeted on his official Twitter account at Ray Lewis. He said, Bel Air, or he'd say something about like, Bel Air, see you soon, excited to be back, and there's the picture of the line. Well, I'm in that line. I'm like, hey, that was taken like 20 minutes ago. So, and then he was actually active. There were several people online. You remember how that one time he actually mentioned me back in a tweet?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't get to today, obviously. I mean, I met him, but he was actually active. The guy in front of me who I met, he actually favored the guy's tweet. And then the guy that I was behind me in line, he actually retweeted the tweet. So Ray Lewis was active, interactive on social media with the fans. He was excited. The turnout was incredible. I don't know the final numbers. I mean, I would love to find out through Barnes & Noble's. And Barnes & Noble and Bel Air where it was held. I got in line. The story was I almost didn't go. I went to the gym this morning to do leg day at 5 a.m. Almost didn't go because I was afraid I wanted to be in line in case, you know, the early birds were there. Luckily, I got my workout in. I got there at 6:30. I got a good spot in line. And the signing started at 6. He actually showed up early. He showed up around 5, you know, early. He started signing a roll after 5:45 p.m. And I was out before 7 o'clock, so it was great. I was only an hour. He was nice as ever. I got up to him, shook his hand. He said, "Young man, how you doing?" He asked me my name. He looks you right in the eyes, man. He engages you, and that handshake is just it's firm, it's strong. He was smiling, he was joking, and I haven't even cracked open the book because obviously I just bought the books on Tuesday. And the first time I cracked open the pages fresh were at the actual signing when he signed it. And I tweeted photos out and on my Facebook page as well. I'm putting the remainders up after the show. But the book, from what I heard people reading it, I've seen people, various people reading it in line. Mm-hmm. And they've actually said, man, that to like reading it, it's almost like he's speaking. It's like reading his words. Like, you know how intense Ray speaks?
You're right.
It's almost like him speaking. Like, you can hear his words. Like they said, when you read the words off the page, you can hear his intensity, and it's portraying the words, which is great and powerful. And I really can't wait to read it. And it's an easy read. What people are saying. I mean, and actually has color pictures in the middle. So there's color photos, books, I think a little over 231 pages or something like that. It's a really quick book, very lightweight book. If anybody, I mean, Brandon, I definitely encourage you to read it. I mean, I have multiple copies coming, but I got two signed copies present right in front of me now. The book is called I Feel It Going On, Life, Game, and Glory. He talks about everything from his early childhood career to, you know, the whole 2000 saga with charges and the playoff runs, and he even talks about his family, his dad, his mom, and then he actually goes through the this year with the Baltimore riots this past year. He mentions some things about this, talking to some local students. So there's a lot in this book that in filling these pages that I can't wait to dive in. But I'm definitely going to keep the signed ones on collector's item. I already got a case ordered, but I did have unsigned copies ordered, so I could definitely you know, take the book and really, you know, basically abuse it and use it instead of, you know, abusing the signed pages. I want to keep those pristine. So, I'm definitely keeping these on the shelf as the keepsake, but, dude, it was great to meet him. I saw a lot of my friends there. You know, they were worried about, like, are we going to get in them? But the line was moving quick. He's just been very excited. I heard he was just very, he kept tweeting all day, Bel Air, I'm back. He kept tweeting about it all day, following his Twitter. So Ray was excited to be back in Baltimore, back in the area, promoting his book. This is a big, huge undertaking for him, getting everything out in the open. And anybody, not only Ray List, but anybody puts out a book, I mean, they're of course going to be excited about it and promoting it. And the fan turnout was incredible. I mean, there was a lot of smiles. I saw a woman, she was crying tears of joy because she met him for the first time, too. So she was, there was just pure emotion, you know, like, thank you, Ray. Thank you for coming out to hear it all. Really can't encapture it. I mean, my photos, I try, but it was a very quick process and it was very loud. I had, sad to say, it was hard for me to get an interview because of all the people in line and outside, and the director with, like, the director had a megaphone trying to direct people, and it was very, trying to get organized at the end. It was kind of like chaotic per se, because there's a lot of people and you had to get them in order and get them in and get them out. So it went through a quick process. So unfortunately, I did not get a chance to, you know, get any sound, but with that being said, I can pretty much, even describing the experience doesn't pretty much scratch the surface of the experience that it was. And, what I really wanted to say to him, Brandon, is what I forgot to say to him is I wanted to tell him that this week I had some trials of my own, but as you always echo with your words, no weapon, you move forward in life. And that's what I wanted to tell him. But never, of course, getting in front of him, you just get caught up. You never really say what you want to say. But, man, it was a great way. Great way to end the week.
Very cool, man. Well, I'm glad you got to meet him. I'm glad you got to, you know, shake his hand, say a few words, and I can't wait for your review of the book once you get it finished and everything.
Oh, yeah.
The show.
If I get any free time soon, hopefully I get some free time. I got a busy weekend coming. Hopefully next weekend I can die down and I'll probably read this sucker in one day. And someone even joked about that. They're just like, I'm afraid to even open it because I'll probably be up to 4 a.m. reading it because I probably won't want to put it down. And I've actually heard people say that they thought they were going to stop at one chapter and they're already in chapter 4. So it's one of those books. And you know, with Ray, you're probably going to read it over and over again just because of the intensity and the wordings. And one guy even said that too. He just broke open a couple pages, just flipping through and reading them. And he's like, this book's going to be incredible. So, I've heard a lot of good reviews. So definitely go check it out. With that being said, further ado, let's get to Purple Friday preview. How about Monday Night Football spotlight, man?
Well, yeah, you know, you're saying you don't know if you don't have time for this weekend. You got a free Sunday now because the Ravens don't play until Monday night up against the Cardinals.
That's true, but I'll be busy watching football, fantasy, hanging with family, celebrating my late birthday.
Yeah.
You know, so and I got other things to do. Plus, all right, yeah, I know this is off topic, but and it's a call. We can do what we want, right?
Yeah.
But I'm watching Hell in a Cell on Sunday night. For all of you guys who don't know, yes, I'm a WWE fan, but you hear this late-breaking story about Randy Orton getting hurt, taking out the trash team.
Yeah, separated shoulder. Apparently, thrown away. How heavy was the bag that he was throwing away, or the trash can? I mean,
probably a body bag.
Yeah.
But I saw that, and I knew the source was legit because it was on Fox Sports. So usually when I see those things, I'm like, yeah, that didn't happen. But when it's FoxSports.com, I was like, yeah, this is legit. So I just, like I said, I think it was pretty common. But I'll be busy weekend, you know. And then obviously, I'm going to be eating with the Ravens Monday Night Football game as soon as I get off work on Monday. It's going to be quick. It's going to be fun. But let's dive right into it. We got Ravens and Cardinals, man. Cardinals are coming off a rather disappointing loss to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh took them to them. And Cardinals have been a strong team starting off, but as of late, they've lost a few games. Two out of the last three. And with the big, as we record tonight, there's a big Thursday Night Football game tonight in the NFC West with the Cardinals, implications with their division, and the Seahawks and San Fran, who just beat us. So the Ravens, they always shine on spotlight. I mean, we shone on Thursday Night Football against Pittsburgh, division rival. Every time we play the Cardinals, it's entertaining. We haven't played them, and you know, obviously we play them once every 8 years, it seems like. So the last time, obviously – it bode well. So, I mean, this matchup is intriguing, Brandon. And I want to get your take. I mean, what do you see happening from, especially of all the games that we've seen so far? What do you anticipate? Do you even anticipate any game plan coming out of here? Or,
well, I mean, I don't know.
What do you think you're going to see?
I don't know the Arizona Cardinals very well. I don't. Of course, I do follow football and everything, but I don't follow them like I follow the Ravens. So I don't know a lot about this team. I know that there was a lot of hype coming into the season about them. But with this Ravens team, honestly, it is just kind of stay healthy at this point, because I want to see this team win, but I don't have a lot of faith that this Ravens team can do anything on offense or on defense. I don't think
we'll get it done.
I'll say right now, starting off the show here, I think the Ravens are going to come out with a loss here once again on Monday night. I think it's going to be close, as it always is, but I don't see the Ravens winning.
Yeah, that Ravens
this one.
Brandon picked against you.
I know. I'm not happy about it either, but given the fact that it's an away game, and the fact that there is no secondary, that the running game has been slim to none so far, as much as I want to see the Ravens do well, this is going to be a tough one. It is like you said, prime time. Yes, the Ravens did well against the Steelers, but that went to overtime, and they kind of got out with the skin of their teeth. This team is a giant question mark. There's no doubt about it. There's a couple of people that I think we can always count on to do well, but for the majority of this team, they're either guys I don't know, guys that have been on the practice squad, or guys who I know just can't get it done. I think that this defense is extremely weak. One of the weakest defenses I think we've seen in the history of the Ravens. And with the offense, it's the offensive line isn't really doing a good job. Joe Flacco's throwing interceptions straight to the opponents. It's a giant question mark. If they come out and they prove me wrong and they win and they look great, I'm happy. But I kind of lost faith right now in the fact that they'll be able to get it done.
You're just letting me put it out there and tell me how you really feel, man. I love it. You're just putting the truth out there. And I kind of share in the same sentiments. It's kind of like I'm not giving them benefit of doubt. I'm kind of like you really want to lean towards it. And obviously I'm with you. I'm leaning towards predicting a loss here because of it's kind of like – what have you shown for me lately? It's other than the Pittsburgh game, they barely won that game. They could be 0-6 and winless. It's what have you shown for me? I mean, we've talked about it again. I keep rehashing it, and everybody keeps asking, what's wrong with the Ravens? I'm like, they think I have the formula. I don't know. But I've always echoed and answered the same way. It's fundamentals. They're not tackling properly. They're not covering well. They're not catching passes. They're just not executing. I think the only thing that happens is we ended up pass or run blocking occasionally well, and that's pretty much it. Other than that, I'm just trying to figure out. Well, I really would love to know what's wrong. But it's pretty much executing a full game plan, and that's what we have to do to win the game on Monday night. We have our hands full. Carson Palmer is having a decent year. He has an aerial assault with weapons. I'm telling you right now, Josh Brown is killing it. I only know that because I always end up playing him in fantasy every week. The dude had 10 catches for 196 yards last week, dude.
Oh, wow.
Dude, that's like, yeah. I mean, 20 yards a catch. Dude's a baller. You got the running backs. Ellington's back healthy. They got Chris Johnson, who was tearing it up prior to the Ellington injury. Ellington's always dangerous. He took a big touchdown to the yard the last game. So, and Fitzgerald's Fitz. I mean, he's going to be there. He's the possession receiver, and he can certainly flat out play. And and I'll let just see the health of Michael Floyd for the Cardinals, and especially for our own guys. Speaking of health, I was definitely surprised to see number 88 back on the field this week for us on practice field, and curious as to why is because number one of our record and state of affairs right now, the team two with Nick Boyle, got Max Williams, Crockett's been banged up, but he can still be formidable. I just don't see the risk of putting Pitta out there for. I mean, again, I know it's exciting. I know, and then everybody's been getting on Flacco, like, "Hey, your best bud's back," but it doesn't salvage the season. It's not going to resurrect us and win some football games. It certainly helps, but you have to wonder, what if the coaches put him out there? He's good to go, and he shatters his hip and ends up paralyzed with life. You don't know what freak accident may happen, and it's kind of like shut him down. Let's revamp him for next year. Reassess the salary. Can we afford him? What contract is he going to demand? I think that's where we need to go in this direction. I don't think putting him on the practice field. I think what they're doing is their end game, Brandon, is they're probably seeing how he feels, how he is, and how mobile he is, and they're going to really value because he was on the pup list. 6 weeks is up. Seventh week is here. We're about evaluating to see where that, and then they could opt to shut him down for the year and put him on IR and say, all right, you're done. Shut down for next year. We have what we have. I don't like it. I don't want to see him suit up this year. I'm sorry. I don't want to see it.
Well, you know, I think it was interesting that they put him on the practice field just to, in full pads and everything. It's his first time. It's his first time this year. So, you know, for him, it's got to feel good to finally dress and be a part of that and really feel like you're a part of this team again. But honestly, it comes down, bottom line, to his health and to what is best for him in his personal life and for his family. Because, this is a job and everything like that, but no one wants to see him hurt his hip again. I mean, it is miraculous that he came back from one hip injury. To come back from two, awesome story, but also a big time risk. You were talking about wrestling a little bit earlier with Hell in the Cell, which I'm excited to see Brock Lesnar and the Taker in the Cell as well. But look at a guy like Daniel Bryan. All right, so Daniel Bryan, he had a lot of concussions in the past. He had a one on Raw. He had some on the Indies and everything like that. And he was stripped of the world title. I mean, this is all this is all real stuff. This isn't kayfabe or whatever for wrestling fans. It's not a part of the storyline. Got stripped of the title, and then it was a shoulder injury.
Yep.
Came back a year later, won the Intercontinental title, had to be stripped of that because he had yet another concussion. He's been cleared by two doctors to say, yeah, your concussion's good, your symptoms are gone, so you can step back into the ring. But the WWE's saying, we don't know if we want you in the ring, given the fact that you've had so many concussions. Is it the best thing for you to do? And they're waiting for their own doctor to clear him. I think that's what the Ravens and the NFL are kind of doing with Pitta, saying, yeah, you probably could play, you seem healthy, you seem to be doing well, but is it the best thing for you to do? Because given the fact that you've had two hip surgeries, two hip injuries, I mean, that's a pretty miraculous thing, a pretty crazy thing to think that you can come back from that. So it's got to be Pitta's call, but it's also got to be the NFL and the Ravens saying, is this the best thing for you?
You're right. It's got to be their call. Is it the best thing? And I think that's why they have a practice where they're evaluating. And one comment I wanted to make, too, I definitely didn't want to chime in, is you had a good point there, is we might turn this into a call slash raw podcast. Because I want to ask your opinion, because you mentioned that. I want to mention a storyline, break away for a minute here, and mention a storyline really briefly here, take a minute or two, about WrestleMania and about the direction it might take. My buddy Paul mentioned this. He said the storyline that he thinks it's Rock versus Brock at WrestleMania, and he thinks that Seth Rollins is going to turn, and he's going to be facing Triple H at WrestleMania. What do you think of that?
Have
you heard that?
I've heard Rock versus Brock has been a plan for years, but they can never get into the Rock schedule.
I don't want to see Rock getting suplex. It's going to be brutal.
I hate to say it, but
it's a beast. Anybody watching it, Brock Lesnar's played in the NFL. He tried out for the Minnesota Vikings. You've seen him in the ring at UFC. I don't care what you say. And again, like you even said, like, this is a part of storyline, real stuff with Brian being hurt and with say what you want. I mean, yeah, this stuff is scripted and the outcomes are scripted, but this is like real stuff. These guys are they're like what the NFL guys do. They're putting their bodies on the line for the sake of entertainment. So it's definitely interesting to watch. I've seen it live and definitely. But yeah, I want to get your input because I'm definitely excited to see what may unfold in the next few months. There.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we might have to start a Raw podcast. It's always interesting me, especially when there's new sports on. It's like that's all I have.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we could do that. I haven't watched Raw in a couple weeks now. Because,
I haven't because I'm on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and but it's also gotten really. Yeah, it's also gotten really bad the last couple weeks.
That's what I've heard.
Like, yeah.
Because of the network, I won't. Well, I know they're recorded because of the WWE Network, but I'll just keep tabs because I watch Monday Night Football now all the time because I mean football season's only 16, 17 weeks, so I'm like, I can watch Raw anytime, but. Especially the ones after paper are always the better ones because something always happens. But I'm like, Ravens are playing, I'm not watching. But it's like, you're right, since this football season, I really haven't been paying attention. I need to because of the big pay-per-views coming up. But, you know, and we have our own big pay-per-view in its own right because Monday Night Football, biggest stage, man. I mean, you got pay-per-view on Sunday Night for Wrestling, got Ravens Monday night. It's going to be a busy weekend for us, especially wrestling and Ravens fans alike. But, and definitely wrapping things up there, I definitely agree with the pitch. Situation. They're evaluating what he can do. I think they're going to shut him down ultimately. If they don't, it's going to be a bad decision, but I don't think the Ravens are that stupid. I don't think anybody on the organization, definitely respect this organization, would ever undermine anybody. I don't think anybody would even put him out there. Like Harbaugh, Brashotti, or two class acts that wouldn't even consider that as an option. I think if our record was different, again, even if our record was different, because it's a flip side, dude. It's, okay, we have a crappy record. So you're not going to throw him out there for the sake of winning games because we don't need to. We do, but we don't. The second is, even if we're 5-1 or 6-0 or 4-2, okay, that means we're winning football games without him. It means, yeah, it would be great to have another weapon, but if we're winning football games without him, it's kind of like, okay, we're good. So we don't want to risk your health. So it's kind of like both sides of the coin are evil at this point. If record-wise, I should say. But, yeah, it was great to see Pitt out there, but don't want to rehash it. We'll see what may unfold.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see what happens. I don't think there's any chance of him playing Monday. Like, I don't even think that's in the cards right now. Yeah. So maybe against the Chargers, but I even highly doubt that.
Oh, is that a pun on the Monday night game? It's not in the cards. Ha, ha, ha. Cardinals.
Yeah.
Cards.
Yeah.
This is one of the greatest shows ever.
So, do you have any idea what is Steve Smith feeling better? Is he doing okay? I mean, we saw him play last week.
Apparently, he asked his wife that she should know because she's the health guru, right? I don't know if you saw that tweet. Did you see that story?
No, I didn't.
No? Oh, my God. Steve Smith, another classic quote. Basically just hinting in a nutshell, he's like, I have the best trainer in the world. I sleep with her every night, my wife. Basically, I have to find it because I paraphrased it. But yeah, look up Steve Smith. It's on there. Look up Steve Smith's Twitter. I don't have my tablet on me recording the night or I would. It's actually dead. It's charging. So, yeah, how great. I'll keep my technology. I let him run out of battery and don't charge him. and it went charge in time for the podcast. I was trying to get it to go, but it's not charged. My tablet doesn't charge fast enough. Yeah, my iPhone's way better charging than that tablet is. Anyway. Yeah, look it up on Steve's Twitter. It's actually comical. He was already quoted saying that he basically sleeps with his nutritionist and therapist. I'm like, that boy's a class act, class clown. I love him. But, I think with that being said, I think Steve's healthy, and he's definitely ready to go. I mean, I saw the interviews this week with him in Dumerville. Steve Smith was ready to go. Really hard to pinpoint. I mean, I'm not in practice, not on the media aspect to really see it firsthand, but from what I've seen video wise, he looked fine moving. Nothing out of the ordinary. I can see if it's pain, he's hiding it under the helmet, or he's not really saying much. But I'm sure he's hurting, I'm sure he's sore.
Yeah,
but I think we'll see number 89, EG 89 out there for us catching footballs.
All right, so is there anybody else that Joe has anything changed? Is Joe Flacco going to be able to throw to anybody else but Steve Smith? We've kind of seen Kamar Aiken,
I hope not,
show a little bit more talent the last couple weeks, but really nothing up to what he was last year or anything past that. So how do the Ravens win this game? Obviously, we really can't count on the defense to be strong and keep these teams down. So how do the Ravens rack up points? What is the key here to make sure we get a win?
I mean, it's really simple. I mean, it's going to be the same. the way we've been playing is going to be the same game plan until they start executing or do something really crappy. It's tackle, no stupid turnovers, take care of the football, do your jobs. You know, why don't you cover somebody for a change? Why don't you catch a pass for a change? Touchdown. It's just simple things. They keep shooting themselves in the foot. Honestly, I'm sick of it. I mean, it's like I'm almost waiting for us to get blown out. So, okay, we really suck that game, next game. Where it's like, I can feel them. We're going to be in this game down by four, trying to drive the game, winning it, touchdown, and it's going to be some stupid play that we didn't make, and we're going to be talking about it for the next couple weeks because we didn't make a play again to win a football game. So that's the keys are very simple. It's execute. Play Raven football. Play Raven, do your job. He'll play with intensity. You know, I mean, Ray Lewis's attention just speaking to me, signing a book. I'm fired up. Why, get out there and get fired up. If Joe Flacco throwing his helmet, sounding, we need more. We need Steve Smith getting angry. We need guys out there just getting angry and saying, I don't want to lose no more. They just have to have that motivation where they just don't want to lose. And until these players get that and grasp that, that's the biggest key to the game is they just need to grasp that intensity and find that motivation and fire back. I mean, I don't know if it was – you know, because we played Pittsburgh on Thursday night and they got fired up for it, I don't know. But that's the greatest TV game I can think of. And my game prediction for this one, man, it's going to be a rough one. For the benefit of the doubt, I am predicting a Ravens – I hate to really go – I don't know. I mean, I told you earlier – yeah, I'm actually going to go doom and gloom here. I think it's going to be a Cardinals win. We're going to be 1-6 is my prediction. I hate to say it, but it just doesn't look pretty, especially on paper and the way the game plan is. They just came after an angry loss, and we've just been, you know, getting killed. I'm going to say it's going to be a 27-14 victory for the Cardinals. And hope Ravens prove me wrong. Hope they execute their game plans and their jobs. But that's my game plan for this week for the prediction.
You know what, I'm right there with you. I don't think the Ravens are going to be able to come out away with a win. And here's the main reason why.
Being out on the road.
Yeah, that's going to be bad. But here we talked about this in the last episode on Tuesday with the Red Eye Review. At the end of the game, there's 30 seconds left. The clock is running down, and the offense is just kind of lightly jogging to the line. In no rush,
yep,
taking 15 seconds. That's who I think the Ravens are this year. I don't think they care. I honestly don't think they want to win. I think there's certain players that want to win. Steve Smith, Justin Forsett, Joe Flacco. I think they definitely want to win, but everyone else I think is so down in the dumps. I don't think they're motivated.
Well, you know what happens then? That means we'll evaluate that. Or, you know, we'll say we, the coaches, I'm not evaluating. No, I mean, we're as part of the team, but you know what I mean. They're going to evaluate that, and the coaches are probably more than likely keeping an eye on that. It's the hustle factor, as they call it in sports. It's who's hustling out there and who's not, who's wanting to play and who's not. You know, I'm going to call it the Bryant McKinney factor. Remember how Bryant McKinney was in the doghouse in the Super Bowl year? He got out of it, and we made the playoff run.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of
yeah.
Like that. It's like you're not playing, you're dogging it, you're sitting on the bench until you can prove you can play. And I think, with these guys and the money they make, I don't want to meddle in that, but I feel as if you dog and you slack, I feel like these guys should be scaled out in their pay until, and they should be incentive laden more. It's like, hey, you play harder, you get paid harder. It's like in real life. You work hard, you get paid. You know, if you're lazy, you don't. So I don't think that, and that's what happens. These players cash in on their contracts and they sit on them like, oh, well, I have $50 million guaranteed money. I can walk to the line. Well, you'll probably be unemployed or knocked to the practice squad in a few years if that keeps up, because it might keep up for a few games on a year or 10 games out of the year until the season's over, but it won't keep for much longer. You rely on the right team, it won't be tolerated.
Yeah, it's that's who I think the Ravens are right now, though. I think they have lost sight of
lazy.
What to play for. I think they're playing lazy, and I think they're not being motivated. There's no good leadership, especially on offense. I don't think it's there. The Cardinals
and Joe can't do it by himself.
Right.
Joe's a leader in his own different way, but needs to be more. I mean, we lost Suggs for the year, and it's like, okay, is that too big of a loss with that leadership? But but it's just, again, you know, you're right. They're losing that focus.
Right, and that's what's going to kill him in the end. So it sucks, but I think the Cardinals, I mean, even before we even were looking at this season, I thought this was going to be a loss no matter what. But even more now, with the way the Ravens have been playing, it's as if they've given up already. And maybe they should. Maybe they should just rack up those losses and focus on getting a higher draft pick. But it sucks no matter what. And I think this game, I'll be watching it. Don't get me wrong, I'll be watching it, but it's also going to be a tough one to watch because I don't think it's going to be pretty. And Ravens football never is, but there's usually a little bit more motivation than I've seen the last couple weeks. So
that's true.
Yeah. So have we covered everything?
For the Purple Friday preview, my friend, we've covered this one to the max.
All right, very cool. If you want to continue the conversation, if you agree or disagree with Josh or I, it's real easy. You can tweet to us. We can talk about Ravens. We can talk about football, the NFL, whatever you want to talk about. You can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. And you know what? You know what we should talk about? Let's tweet about the fact that brand Funko, who do those little pop figurines, they did another set of NFL, and Ben Roethlisberger got a Funko pop of himself, and there's still not one Baltimore Raven made. That sucks. There's J.J. Watt. There's like two Tom Brady's. There's an RG3 even. There's a bunch of Seahawks.
There's even Batman.
Oh, yeah. There's Batman. There's everything. But no Joe Flacco, no Terrell
Suggs.
Everything
all over. Even there's a Sheldon one from Big Bang Theory. I mean, come on, dude.
I know.
Even Sheldon gets one and Ray Lewis doesn't? Yeah, okay.
No Ravens, and that sucks. And you want to talk about that? I love Funko.
Must be
but
a Steeler fan.
Come on. Yeah, exactly. They're based probably in Seattle, so that's why there's so many
Patriot
Seahawks.
Don't want to go there.
Yeah, but we need some Raven Funkos, I think so. But you can tweet to me on Twitter, at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can tweet to me at No Raven Funkos. No, I'm kidding. At Italian GQ52.
hashtag No Raven Funkos.
Yeah, add the hashtag in there. That's what I meant to do. I had to fire it up. You ruined it for me.
All right. All right, go over to Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new episode comes out, you'll be the first to know. Also, go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. That's Brando Cash Entertainment. You'll be the first to know about the call, what the puck, photos, videos, any other kinds of stuff that we get involved with. You can check it out there. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about the call podcast and what the puck and anything else that we do and we decide to produce. Let people know about us, though. You know, we are a free podcast, as all podcasts are free, but we are a free Baltimore Ravens podcast. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. So make sure you check that out. Let people know on social media. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should, too.
Overcast.
Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web. Tell people about
Face Smash, like Belichick says.
Right.
Face Smash.
Let people know about the call. Leave us an iTunes review. Do whatever you can. Spread the word about the call. And say, hey, you know what? The Ravens might be losing, but these guys are still doing podcasts, and I'm going to hang with them. And the very next show, guys, is going to be episode 100. How cool is that? You guys have stuck around for so long. We're still doing the show. Episode 100. It's a milestone in the call's history.
Episode 100 in the 20th season. And getting our second win. How about that? Hey, on Monday Night Football.
I'm fine. Let's do that. So
pop the champagne. Let's go celebrate.
I like it. All right. So that's it.
Super Bowl's 50 this year. We're 100 this year. Let's all do it.
I like it. All right. So that's it for the call this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, my friend. And thanks to all the listeners always tune in every week and download our content. Appreciate it. And here we go, guys. Monday Night Football. Love it. I love Gruden calling our games, and I really can't wait for us to get under the lights in Arizona. It's going to be great, man. It's going to be great, and I really can't wait to see what we have in store. It's going to be Ravens and Cardinals. It's going to be a good battle out west. To all fans, I do know some fans going to this game. You guys are going to have some fun out there. I'm jealous because this is one of the road trips I eyed up this year, but couldn't get it taken care of, but definitely there in spirit, as is all Ravens Nation. We're definitely rooting hard. Yes, we might predict losses around here, and we predict doom and gloom because of what we see and what we analyze, but our hearts are always rooting for you guys to do your best. And always be winning outcomes. Just do your best, do your job. And with that being said, do your job. Baltimore Ravens, fly high out of Monday Night Football.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment.
Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.